moving in the direction of understanding a little bit more about the human element, about inspiration, about core leadership traits that brought people together, created that sense of belonging, community. And then bam, the pandemic hits. We have to talk about what it did to impact the way that we work together.
That's Jill Pabalka, author of the new book, Experience Inc., Why Companies That Uncover Purpose, Create Connection, and Celebrate Their People Will Triumph. She's also the president of SAP SuccessFactors and is a sincere believer that purpose drives people and people drive business performance to help the world run better and improve people's lives.
Because I think we went back to the metrics. I think we went back to KPIs. We went back to when I get on a call, I go straight through the agenda to try to get to the decisions that I need. And then 30 minutes later, I'm on another call talking about something else, right? But all of us are dealing with the fact that we're all chasing these numbers instead of remembering that we are all human beings and we have to create a great human experience. Because if we're not purpose-led, if we're not thinking about taking care of each other and empathy, then we won't have even the people that we have today in the workforce.
What lessons from the last few years can we take with us into the future of work? What does it mean to have a great human experience? And how can organizations create human-centered employee experiences? Welcome to Strategic Momentum, the podcast that helps you break through the inertia and achieve meaningful work-life fit in an ever-changing world through the inspiring stories, actual tips, and pragmatic advice behind those that found it. I'm your host, Connie Steele. And today, we're talking all about the employee experience and a post-COVID world with Jill Pabalka. Her book, Experience Inc., just launched on May 3rd. Jill defines the employee experience as a beliefs, feelings, attitudes, and behaviors that result from your job experience. It's the confluence of an individual's sense of purpose, agency, belonging, and recognition. So in this episode, we're going to learn why having a great employee experience matters, what's holding organizations back from doing so, and what it takes to deliver it.
Thank you so much for being on the show today, Jill.
Hi, Connie. Thanks for having me.
So it'd be so great if you could share your career journey and those important milestones in both your work and life, because as we know, they're quite integrated today, that have led you to where you are today.
Connie, I think one of the things that I realized early in life was that it's very difficult to draw the boundaries between work and life because my brain doesn't just stop thinking about work and then switch right into life. So I'd love to share a little bit with you. Okay, so starting out my career as I graduated from university, went straight to work, literally 2 weeks out of school for Anderson Consulting at the time. So business consulting was the foundation of my career. And I think that was really helpful. It was like an on-the-job MBA. And so I was learning different business models, how people interact with one another, things like that. It was a great 13 years with Accenture where I learned lots of different business models. As I made manager about 6 years into my career, I had my first child and then closely followed by my second child. And that was a really interesting time in life. I say that it was a blur because trying to balance family life. And I live in Texas and born and raised in the South. And that means there were certain expectations for the female in a marriage and as a mom. And I had to really challenge myself on each of those. And my mom was challenging me in the background. But at the same time, I was trying to figure out what does it mean to be a great mom and what does it mean to be 100% great at work? After a little bit at Accenture, I found SAP, and I'd actually worked very closely with SAP in my career at Accenture, but had the opportunity to go work for a more core technology company. So started working with SAP, I think around 2010, and SAP gave me great opportunities, not only to continue that business consulting career, but learn more deeply the technology that we were implementing. And they also gave me the opportunity to move to Singapore. And so in 2017, my family and I, at that point, I had teenagers. So Kaylee, Cole, Jimmy, my dog, we all moved to Singapore and spent 3 years learning Asia Pacific and Japan, not only from a business perspective, but from a cultural perspective and really getting the opportunity to understand how people interact with one another in different countries on a different side of the planet. And then when I came back in 2020, I was offered the role of president of SuccessFactors, and that's what I've been doing since, leading this business, this incredible business that truly has technology that helps unleash the human potential at work. And we're passionate about that, passionate about continuing to drive that into the market.
What's so valuable to hear about your story is early on, you understood and had to deal with that challenge of being the best personally because of you wanting to be the best mom you could be. And I can 100% relate. I have two children of my own. But at the same time, that doesn't preclude you from wanting to do the best you can professionally. So you were dealing with the, you know, work and life since the early days of your professional career. But also what's so valuable is to understand those breadth and depth of experiences that has given you the ability to holistically see the differences in cultures, differences and approaches, likely differences in needs. And so, and Everly, I'm sure, has helped you better understand how to unleash your own employees' potential, but the potential of those clients that you work with as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I remember being in a group of women in Japan. We were having a kind of women's networking lunch. And one of the things I realized is it isn't just, you know, your organization or your employees that are dealing with some of these challenges like work-life balance, specifically for women. Let's just dive in on that for a second. The customers are dealing with it too, right? They're trying to really master at the same time, diversity and inclusion and equity. And that this team in Japan, you know, I was going on and on about how to balance life. They're like, no, we can balance life. It's that our husbands don't support us. And I was like, oh, that's new. And they're like, and our fathers and our grandfathers. And I was like, oh, this is a much deeper challenge, right? Culturally, than what we're facing in different parts of the world. So anyway, yes, it's been a great experience, a great journey, so many learnings along the way.
So tell us how all of those experiences fueled your desire to create your new book, Experience Inc., Why Companies That Uncover Purpose, Create Connection, and Celebrate Their People Will Triumph. Really, what was that inspiration behind it?
Well, it was a pretty simple inspiration. It was at the beginning of the pandemic. I walked my dog a lot because that's the only thing that we could do to get out of the house. And I was walking my dog one day and I thought, God, I miss human connection. I miss being with people. And while we are connecting with people online over video, it's just a different feeling. And I started to explore that feeling and put a little research into, you know, what is it that when people come together, they can actually be more creative, more innovative, right? There's a different type of conversation that happens when you're in the room with someone. And that led me down a few different rabbit holes. But what I realized is it's really the employee experience overall that we needed to be thinking about. Because going forward, we're not always going to be in person. We're not always going to be on a screen. So how do we focus on that fundamental employee experience, what employees are experiencing as they come to work every day, so that you could develop the human connection in whatever environment, understand how people are connecting to their companies and how they're feeling like they belong in a company, no matter where they are in the world.
Well, in today's world of work, let's talk about that, where the world of work has fundamentally changed. It has been one that used to be more siloed, sequential, rigid, and conformist in nature to one that's much more fluid, obviously in light of the pandemic, collaborative too, in the way that we work from an agile perspective in order to get things to market, multimodal, and really about individual agency. And I know you talk about that. People truly recognize the importance of being able to bring their whole self to work. And all of this has accelerated due to the pandemic. But of course, you know, it wasn't that way 15 years ago. And some would argue maybe even 10 years ago. So it'd be great if you could also share with listeners the broader changing dynamics and those competing forces that are impacting workers in the workplace.
Sure. Well, I mean, I think you hit on so many things there, Connie, just in the question. First of all, we've got a ton of new technology and it's flying at us, right? There's lots of money in the capital markets flying toward new technology. So every day, I feel like there's something new for us to explore. We have greater access to information, and that's true globally, right? And on top of that, we have information about business practices, about how businesses are handling, you know, their employee experience, how they're creating a great employee experience or not so great employee experience. We have the public health crisis and the economic fallout from that. And then the great reshuffle, as people are calling it, right? The great resignation is also leading to more opportunity. And then we have political polarization that's also affecting, I think, all of us, right? We're all trying to figure out, like, where do we fall in terms of, you know, government policy and things like that around the world. I mean, geopolitics right now is maybe a bigger impact on all of us than even the pandemic was a few years ago, because we're all trying to figure out what is the new world order. And so we're really starting to enter this new human-centric era of work. And I sincerely believe this, because workers are the ones that have the power now to move, right? In this great reshuffle, they can decide if they want. There's so much opportunity. They can decide if they want to leave one place and go to another. They want flexibility. They're fearful and slightly unsure because of some of the political polarization we were just talking about. And a lot of them are overwhelmed, whether that's from trying to balance home and work, right, without any boundaries, even in time or in space. And also, I think schools and parents are overwhelmed, right? So I always like to bring in the education system as a part of this overall environment, this ecosystem of work that we're living in. But I think there's a whole lot that's happening. We're moving, though, to a more human-centric part of our lifetimes.
I 100% agree with that. What really connected with me in your book, you convey what employees want, which is that whole notion of purpose, agency, belonging, and recognition. And so by understanding, when we say we're moving to a more human-centric way of work, way of life, those four tenets, I believe, are just so important to get grounded in. The other, this is a quote from your book that also resonated, and I think it's important for people to hear this, is that there needs to be a shift from a focus on growing revenue, capitalizing on new markets and customers, innovating faster than competitors, to one that is about helping people to have a work experience that fulfills them. When we focus so much about these metrics, the KPIs, we're forgetting the importance that at the end of the day, we're all human. All companies are made up of people. And to best motivate people to do their best work, it really requires you to understand them, what their needs, motivations, attitudes, really just approaches. And there's different approaches are to in order to really unleash all of their potential. So let's dive deeper into understanding the components of employee experience. Really, what is that link between that and, again, what employees want?
Sure. So employee experience is a funny thing. I had a CHRO tell me, and this is in the book as well, that she hates the word experience. I was like, why? She said, my CFO will never pay for anything called experience.
Too fuzzy, right?
Too fuzzy. What is it? And so that was one of the big challenges that I wanted to address in the book, like really define it, help us understand. Dr. Steve Hunt is an organizational psychologist. He's an expert in his field that works at SAP. And he has a great definition of employee experience. He said, employee experience refers to the beliefs, feelings, attitudes, and behaviors that result from your job experience. And he's, again, done some research, and I talk about this a little bit. There are three types of experience that will influence how you feel about work. The first is task experience. And so that's really, how easy is it to get things done? Do we make it easy for employees to do their jobs? Do we give them the tools that they need? A good task experience makes an employee feel efficient and positive when they leave their workday. The second is a social experience. Do I like the people that I work with? Am I enjoying, you know, my leadership team and the peers around me? So are we really creating a fun and enjoyable climate? Now, not all work is fun, but you can have fun with the people around you while you're working. So I think that social experience, sometimes overlooked, but a bad social experience can make you feel more burned out, more isolated. A bad social experience can create a really bad and unproductive day. And then the third is a fulfillment experience. So Steve says that task experience, social experience, and fulfillment experience, this is about, am I getting what I need from work? Am I being fulfilled? Does it allow me to achieve the goals that I want to and feel like I have a higher level purpose, right? So that fulfillment experience. So as I was going through Steve's research, I did come up with these four things that you mentioned in the question that I believe are the four critical elements for a company to create a great employee experience. The first is purpose, finding meaning in your work. The second is agency, employees getting the chance to really own how, when, and where they work. The third is belonging, and I can talk about this one forever, but feeling like you're part of a community, right? That's really working toward the singular purpose. And then recognition, of course, feeling valued. So leaders helping ensure that employees and their teams feel valued for the work they do. So those are some of the things that I believe make a great employee experience. And, you know, I'm sure that there's lots to talk about on any of these topics.
Absolutely. Well, we had done some research as well to truly understand what workers want as individuals. And certainly it aligns to so much of what you've outlined as these core tenets of what makes up an employee experience, where when we've asked, what are your life goals? A lot of that you see, as well as career goals, I should say, we asked life goals and career goals, and you see that it's meaning, not just money. It is passion and purpose and always having interesting work, which was really interesting. You know, it is much more holistic. It is not the traditional definitions of success years ago where it was the money, title, and power. It is one where they're looking to achieve that higher order level of fulfillment and being able to leverage their breadth and depth of skills and not necessarily feeling that they are compartmentalized necessarily into one facet. So, you know, when you had outlined the employee experience and talked about the task experience, social experience, fulfillment experience, to me, it just continues to reflect the importance of us as leaders, but even as individuals, recognizing that it's multidimensional and how we need to look at what is going to be best for the individual, but also what's going to be best for your employee base, and never taking that, again, sort of one-dimensional view. So let's get into, where do organizations struggle in creating that employee experience? Because it seems so obvious, I think, when you hear, of course, all of us want to have purpose. All of us want to have agency in some way and feel a sense of belonging with the people in the organization we work for and be recognized. But so often, we see that that's not, that combination of the three just doesn't seem to happen. Why is that?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, Connie, because I think for a long time we focused so much on the metrics, right? But that was all that we were focused on, is the numbers, the revenue. Are we hitting our revenue goals? The profit margin? Can we lower costs? What else can we do? And over the course of, I'd say, the last 10 years, we were moving in the direction of understanding a little bit more about the human element, about inspiration, about, you know, leadership, core leadership traits that brought people together, created that sense of belonging, community. And then bam, the pandemic hits. And as much as I was tired of talking about it for a while, it's undeniable. We have to talk about what it did to impact the way that we work together, right? Because I think we went back to the metrics. I think we went back to KPIs. We went back to, when I get on a call, I go straight through the agenda to try to get to the decisions that I need. And then 30 minutes later, I'm on another call talking about something else, right? So, and then on top of that, because of the fact that it's a struggle to find good work. So just to back up for a second, just a second ago, I was talking about those of us that are on Zoom calls all the time, going back to back, right? Those are knowledge workers. But then we also have frontline workers that are still going to work, in some cases doing twice the job, twice the work they were before, because of the staffing shortages that we're experiencing right now across most of that frontline workforce. And we know that 80% of the world is deskless. They're dealing with a separate set of challenges that we are, but all of us are dealing with the fact that we're all chasing these numbers instead of remembering that we are all human beings and we have to create a great human experience. Because if we're not purpose-led, if we're not thinking about taking care of each other and empathy, then we won't have even the people that we have today in the workforce, right? We'll continue to lose.
Another important trend I think is necessary for leaders and people to acknowledge is that there's also changing demographics as well. So with four, some would argue five generations in the workplace, the two younger generations have wanted something different and have approached work fundamentally different than the two older ones. And with the oldest millennial being 41, in 10 years, you're going to be in leadership positions across sort of every major industry, knowing that they think differently and that they are about being better, doing better, and creating good in the world, they are purpose-driven. They are looking for that higher order meaning. It's going to shift the way that we need to think about business. So not only has there been just a shift because of the pandemic, but just personally in the experiences that we've had as people, the environments we've grown in, what we want has changed. And that's only going to accelerate. I think that's so important for people to have, because that at its core is understanding humans. Humans want something different.
Absolutely, Connie. One of the things that we found in our research was, and we talked to employees across both of those sets I just talked about, the knowledge workers, right, and the frontline workers. We found that all of them want authentic leadership. And what is authentic leadership, right? It's the leadership that's able to share real stories, right? To really connect with you on a human level, that can, that behave and model the behaviors that we all want to follow. So, and sometimes that means shutting down at a certain time of day, right? Giving you an example of that it's okay to stop working. We had a leader in our, I'm gonna go back and tell a story from Japan again. This is two in a row. Leader in Japan that would send an email at 6 o'clock on Fridays, helping his team know that it was okay to sign off, right? And let's have a weekend. And in some cultures, that's very important, right? We've in the US implemented something called Focus Fridays. It ends up being a slightly different day sometimes in Asia, but Europe is taking this on as well. But Focus Friday, so that you can stop the phone calls, focus on learning and development and taking care of yourself. And leaders modeling that makes a big difference. I think there are some leadership elements that play across generations, right? To your point. And one of those today is authentic leadership. The second is using technology in humane ways. I think whether you're in a more mature generation or a younger generation, at this point, you're like, quit throwing all the self-service technology at me. Tell me what's the process we're trying to address, and then how does the technology support it? And then last, I think all generations are worried about their own health and well-being, and having empathy and support for the mental health and also the physical health of all of our employees is really important.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because you bring up an important point in the book that this is not an HR issue, because in most instances, I believe that many people assume, well, this is HR's responsibility to figure out how to address some of these challenges that we might have. But you explicitly articulate that this is a leadership issue. It's important for everyone in the leadership team to model certain behaviors, such that people can follow that and express the authenticity and showcase that we all have to be more human, and that when everybody can give folks a permission, and in many instances, to basically shut off and not have to work on the weekend, and have an environment where there's psychological safety, which is so important, that you can start to change the dynamics of an organization and create a culture that enables people to be their best selves.
Well, that's the whole idea. We want people to be able to bring their whole selves to work. You mentioned that concept earlier, but when people feel safe, they can be their best at work. They can have a growth mindset. They can learn even better when they feel safe and accepted at work. And so that's part of the sense of belonging that we want to create, right? How do we create that sense of belonging so that people are always looking to learn, where they're not afraid to be slightly vulnerable, admit when they don't know something, because sometimes that's when the greatest learning can happen. You want to ensure that when they bring their whole selves to work, they're also sharing their passions and their joys and things like that that can lead you to, as a leader, what else they might be able to do for your organization, right? That also connects with their purpose. So, you know, I think this bringing your whole self to work is a great concept. I've been asked before, you know, but what about, isn't there part of yourself that maybe you don't want to bring to work? Well, sure, but that's where agency comes in. That's where you as an individual should choose, you know, what exactly you want to bring into work every day. And hopefully it's the part that brings value.
Well, the fact that you are enabling employees to have a sense of control over what they want to do and how they want to do it is so important. So let's dive deeper though into those four important elements, because we want to get to the how. You express that also, that while many people can intuitively understand why this is valuable, the challenge is getting to how organizations start to build that employee experience. So let's start talking about what else does it take to make it real? You gave some examples, but maybe where is the starting point?
Yeah, you know, Simon Sinek said, start with why. And I believe that that's true. We should always give a good check on our clear notion of our why. And that's both from a company perspective and from your individual perspective. Maybe it's your team perspective, right? We should all know our why. So the book explores a lot in terms of purpose and meaning. And asking the question, why are we doing this? Is always important. It can keep you out of doing things that are not priorities and not in alignment with your company or team purpose. So I think starting with why is an important element of defining purpose. I'd love to talk a little bit more about this concept of agency, because employee agency, people are like, what does that mean? And so sometimes we say agency and autonomy. At the bottom of it, at the foundation, it's creating a sense of ownership for employees to both feel like they own the outcomes of their job and they own their career path, their career journey. In some companies, they've taken on this concept of internal talent mobility. So being able to move around in the organization, move your talent in a meaningful, in a deliberate way. So we have a new, SuccessFactors has a new solution called Opportunity Marketplace. And this is where we promote fellowship opportunities, where you can go get experiences, short 6-month experiences in another part of the business to see if that's something that you're interested in doing. That's giving employees choice to go try something new that maybe fits with their interests, but is still in alignment with the company purpose. To have learning opportunities, right? And so companies can both post fellowship roles, but also full-time roles and learning opportunities that are, again, in alignment with where the business needs to go, but then giving the employees that choice by promoting those opportunities gives the employees choice in which one they take as the next step in their career. Sometimes they don't want to go straight up. Sometimes it's not a ladder of career progression. Sometimes they want to make a lateral move to go learn something new that feeds their soul.
What's so great to hear is it's always starting with that why to get to alignment. You mentioned that quite a bit, that when individuals and the organizations haven't achieved that fundamental alignment on what it is both parties are striving for, those goals, then inevitably there's going to be friction along the way. And then by giving them that flexibility, that optionality to experiment, and it's about talent stacking and building that breadth, not just depth. To me, that's such a great reflection of how to build that point of agency. Well, let's also talk about belonging and recognition again, because I want to make sure that listeners really understand, again, these four important elements and why they work truly in such an integrated way to get to the necessary outcomes of really, you know, engagement, productivity, but also the business outcomes of growth, growth for the individual, but also growth for the company.
Right, exactly. So we actually in the final part of the book talk about the so what, right? So what? If I do all these things, what happens? We give examples of companies that have done these things and their revenue growth and their exposure to bigger and better markets because they have such a great reputation with their employees. But let's go back. So we've talked about purpose. We talked a little bit about agency, employee agency and autonomy. Now belonging. Sometimes I start with this one, Connie, because I believe it's so important. Feeling like you're a part of something, having that true psychological safety that you know you're welcome and you belong, it can create all of the diversity, equity, and inclusion concepts, all the things we want to track. If people feel like they belong, it can really solve for many of those things.
It's fuzzy, though. Those can be hard where you're trying to put something so specific and it's a feeling. So in this case, success is evaluated by a feeling people have versus sometimes a hardcore number. I think quite often we can forget that in business, that success is just more than a metric.
So true. It's so true. It's much more than a metric. And this type of belonging, when you can create a sense of community around your purpose and around your company's core objectives and mission, people work harder toward it, and they're able to learn and figure out and be innovative toward that purpose. So we love this concept of belonging at SuccessFactors. We want to help everyone feel like they're part of something bigger than themselves, and we believe that can support all of our DE&I metrics. And then last, we'll talk about gratitude, because I think this is another one that cannot be missed. It's a little bit easier to measure. It can be a little bit easier to provide the tools to show gratitude. But the important thing about gratitude and recognition, as I bring up in the book, is being meaningful in how you deliver that. So I'm thankful for you, Connie. I'm thankful for you because you ask amazing questions. And that type of gratitude really reinforces a behavior that can drive culture. And so talking about gratitude and talking about gratitude in meaningful ways is actually the direction that we need to go in, you know, most companies.
It's really about the delivery, it sounds like, in the way that you showcase your gratitude. So in, think about that tone of voice that you have, the delivery method in the email, or if it's via a phone or a video and so forth. But all of those touch points holistically can really manifest itself into the right way that demonstrates gratitude versus just saying, good job. That's it. That's my, you know, one check the box element of gratitude. It's when somebody can really sense it and feel it in every way that it's expressed. Inevitably, somebody's going to feel that sense of then belonging.
Right. Exactly. They build on each other. That's right.
So, you know, we talk a lot about what leaders can do, but with this shift towards employees also having more power in the workplace today, what can employees do to get their leadership to think about the employee experience and maybe also create that momentum from the ground up?
Sure. Well, you know, I think first of all, I heard something recently, someone said, assume positive intent. And I think often we go in and say, oh, my employer's terrible, or they're not, you know, they don't care about people. No, assume that they do. Assume that they care about people so that you can give them the feedback that says, hey, I know you care about us, but it doesn't feel like it right now. Here's what you can do to make that better, right? Sometimes you can do that through an employee survey. Sometimes it's better to have a conversation. But in any case, I think employees need to assume positive intent and then go provide the feedback, that critical feedback that can make their organization better. Every employee can be a leader too, right? So showing empathy for your colleagues and peers can go a long way to create that sense of belonging too.
The point of every employee can be a leader, to me, shows that they have really the agency to bridge the gap. And if employees can give that iterative feedback, right? So in a world where technology drives a lot of, you know, the way we operate, I always like to share with people that think of this as a way where you can constantly provide the data, the perspective, such that both parties can come together to create a better solution. But nothing's ever perfect, right? Perfect is the enemy of good, but you just need to start going. And then this way you can come to really an alignment of what the right delivery could be.
That's exactly right. We know that there's what we call the experience gap. And it's that executives, I think it's something like 90% of executives believe that they're delivering a great employee experience. And 30% of employees believe that they're getting a great experience, right? So there's this massive gap. Employers aren't trying to provide a bad experience. There's oftentimes they just don't know. So giving them feedback in a way that's not too negative, not too whiny, but more, hey, this is what we're feeling. This is what you can do about it, right? Here are some ways that other companies are doing this well. Here are some things that we would appreciate, you know, in our organization. We're always looking at that employee feedback and trying to figure out what is the solution. It's great when we actually get solutions in the comments.
Can you give some other examples of companies, obviously, with SAP or others that you've worked with, because clearly you've worked with so many who are doing such a great job with delivering a wonderful employee experience? Because I think those stories help crystallize it so well.
Yeah, well, there are, of course, lots of companies that are providing great employee experiences. And I'll share some, but keep in mind that there's unique employee experience as everywhere, right? So I'm going to describe some of the things that we believe are moving in the right direction, right? So we always hear about Starbucks in the news, right? Starbucks actually does some really great things for their employees in terms of employee benefits and in terms of salaries and unique ways that they reward their employees. They're also really focused on the manager level at Starbucks because they realized that some of the challenges in their stores happened when there was manager turnover. So they created a succession planning system. so that there's less gap. When a manager leaves, there's always one ready to take their place. This is really important because employees don't feel lost, right? It helps them feel like they can control themselves, that sense of belonging can be controlled as they have continuity across their management ranks. So at Starbucks is one of them. One of them that I read about recently was Singapore Airlines, one that creates a great customer experience, one that I experienced on a regular basis when I was in Asia. They do a lot of great things for their employees. Now, it's challenging to work in the travel industry, obviously, but they do some things to make sure that they have vacations, they have proper training, and that they also enjoy some of the benefits of travel. So, you know, there are lots of different ways to create a great employee experience. And I think it's important that businesses look into how they provide what their employees need, because it's usually unique to their employee base.
Right. Well, employees are people. And just as companies are looking to constantly understand their customers in order to deliver the best products and services, it's no different. You have to look at your employees as people. And so they are your target audience. And the more that you truly understand them from the inside out, you know, the better an organization is going to be able to deliver those right customized solutions to really fulfill on the business needs and their employee needs. So to close, how has your definition of career success evolved from your early days in the workforce to now?
Well, it may be softer. You know, I think for a while I was climbing the ladder a little bit, but I realized that what I want to do now is just have an impact on people's lives, have a positive impact on people's lives. And if I can do that well, if I can help other people see the strengths in themselves and really grow as individuals in their career, however they're looking to grow, that's really my greatest success. And I think being a mom sometimes has influenced that a little bit, because I see that I want other people to see the greatness that's in my kids. And so I want to go see the greatness that's in everyone around, you know, in my sphere, anybody who I can impact. I want to help them make their lives better.
What's the best work or career advice you've ever received?
I don't know if it's career advice, but I can say this, that throughout my career, when someone has believed in me, it's helped me believe in myself. And so while it might not be advice, I would say what I'd offer to other leaders and to people in the workforce is share with people that you believe in them, and you'll be surprised what potential would be unleashed.
Well, to me, that advice, or really that experience that you've had, to me is so crucial to delivering that employee experience, because when you can convey the recognition, and that recognition may be just the point that I believe in you, that creates such momentum for the individual to really think differently and bring their whole self to work. And finally, what's the best way listeners can connect with you and, of course, get your great book?
Oh, well, thanks for asking, Connie. LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn and also on Twitter at Jill Popelka. And the book is everywhere on Barnes & Noble, Goodreads, Amazon. You can find it anywhere, Jill Popelka Experience Inc.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show today and helping us to understand the importance of creating that great employee experience, but also sharing too that those four important elements of delivering that experience, that purpose, agency, belonging, and recognition, can really help the individuals in your company, as well as your company, reach their growth potential.
Thanks so much for having me, Connie.
I really love how much of what Jill shares in this episode and in her book aligns with the research we've been sharing this year. What employees want, what employees have been wanting for a while now, is changing. And even though our organizations acknowledge there is a problem, a gap of some kind, they're still using the same old tools to solve new problems. But KPIs won't help you learn about an individual's needs, motivations, attitudes, or how they like to learn. Metrics won't help you care. And your people have enough options that they can and probably will choose to leave if they sense you don't care. So if you want to create a great employee experience that helps your people build careers filled with purpose, agency, belonging, and recognition, there needs to be a cultural shift at the leadership level. A shift from being metrics-led to purpose-led. It's about understanding your why. And as an employee, you can help create a better employee experience by assuming positive intent from your leadership first. Assume they want to change the environment for the better. Also provide feedback that you believe can improve the organization. This way, you can help bridge the experience gap that exists. Every employee can be a leader, and showing empathy for your colleagues and peers can go a long way to develop that sense of belonging as well. I'm Connie Steele, and you've been listening to the Strategic Momentum Podcast. To connect with me, go to LinkedIn and search for Connie W. Steele or on Instagram at Connie Wang Steele. And if you've liked what you heard, please follow the show and share this episode with friends and colleagues. You can also get show notes, links, and more advice from this episode at conniewsteele.com/podcast. Thanks for listening, and we're looking forward to helping you create the necessary momentum in your work and life so you can continue to build the business of you.